Okay, the Gemara spoke briefly on Mem on the day, the bottom of Mem on the day, about swimming on Shabbos. There's an Issa Rechitza B'chamen. There's no Issa Medina, the Gemara, there's no Issa Rechitza B'toyden. One time, Rav Meir made a gzera that you're not even allowed to be mishtatef B'toyden. And the mishtatef is not as chomer as Lirchot. Some he would ask a rechitza b'tzayin also, but the pashtus is we don't pass him like Rav Meir. Just the shadow whether we should pass him like Rav Yudah, Allah Gzirah Machriya, or we should pass him like Rav Shimon, because of the Stam Mishnah that Tosfos brings out that topic, the top Tosfos Amen and Ralph, but we don't pass him like Rav Meir. So that's just a chumra alpi pashtus that we don't allow that for many centuries we didn't permit rechitza b'tzayin on Shabbos. But this is Loshut. Loshut is a different story, to float on top of the water. Loshut is part of the Gzera of Ein Shotten. Ein Shotten is a Mishnah in Beitza. So if Akaraglov, then it's a violation. If he's going to go swimming, then it'll sometimes be a violation on Ein Shotten, depending on the nature of the river. If it's a body of water where it's shaykh to have a rowboat, so then not only did they ask her rowing in a boat, Ein Shotten really goes on rowing. I don't know if they ask her even swimming or floating on top of the water. But if he's not going to float on top of the water, just going to stand in cold water to cool off, that's not really a problem of rechitza b'shabbos, according to the halacha. So now that the Gemara was speaking a little bit about swimming, so the Gemara tells stories unrelated to Shabbos. The Amar Rav Zera, another story. Ano hazita the Rabba Bo, that when he went swimming, they didn't have any swimming suits. Hinech yado keneged panav shalmato, or he went to the mikvah, whatever it was. Maybe he went to the mikvah, maybe he went swimming. Hinech yado keneged panav shalmato, he covered over his erva. Velo yedaina inoga ilo noga. I don't know if when he was covering his body, whether he touched his eva or he didn't touch the eva. The Gemara said, what do you mean he's not sure? Pshita lo inoga de tanya. We have a brisa, a blazer amakaloiches ba'amo mashtim. When a person has to go to the Beis HaKisei, and he's mashed in, so if he doesn't want the merag lion to shoot all over the place, so sometimes he has to hold part of the omer. So that's a machloikis satanaim, is that permissible? So Rav Lezer says you're not allowed to. Kolochas ba'o mashed in, one who holds on to his aver when he does hashtana, kila maybe mabul la'olam. What kind of a mashal is that? Because he's being mashed in mine. It's being mashed in mine as if he's, no. So Rashi says no, because no, that has nothing to do with it. Rashi says that was the sin, that was the chet of the Dora Mabul, because the pasuk says ki hishchis kol basar is darko al haoret, and the Tanoim understood hishchis kol basar has to do with hashchas hazera. Zekim kulo shel Dora Mabul matim shich bazel v'atola dichsiv ki hishchis kol basar is darko, and that was an issur for Bnei Noach. Hashchas hazera is forbidden for Bnei Noach. That's how Rashi is quoting. That's a nida daf Yud Gimel. Beginning of Perikol Ayat, so Rashi's quoting from the Gemara there. One opinion is that this is also for Bnei Noach. Why should it be also for Bnei Noach? What is the source of that Isser of Hashchas Hazera? So Tosfos has in Sanhedrin on Daf Nun Tes, Tosfos has, and in Nida over there on Daf Yud Gimel, Tosfos has a Machloikes HaRishonim. Whether Hashchas Hazera is based on the mitzvah Piri Verivya, whoever is mitzvah in the mitzvah Piri Verivya, has an Isser essay, sort of, this is included in the Din of Pir B'Revi, has an Isser essay not to do Hashchas Hazera. Tosfos quotes one opinion that women who are not obligated to fulfill the mitzvah Pir B'Revi don't have an Isser of Hashchas Hazera. So Bnei Noach are also not mechuyev in the mitzvah Pir B'Revi, so they wouldn't have any Isser of Hashchas Hazera. So that would be Bizman Hazeh. After Matan Torah, the Bnei Noach no longer have a mitzvah of Piri Berivya, but the original mitzvah of Piri Berivya was given to Adam Arishim, Pru Revu. The Rabban Shalom told Adam Arishim, Ayyvarach Oysim, Ayyam Alahem Pru Revu, he gave a bracha. So you could say that it wasn't a mitzvah, it was a bracha. But after the Mabul was over, HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded that Pru Revu. It wasn't just a bracha. It was a tzivui. So the Gemara says up until Matan Torah, even the Bnei Noach, everyone was mechuyev to observe Piri Berivya. After Matan Torah, the mitzvah changed, and it only applied to the Bnei Yisrael. Probably the nature of the mitzvah also changed. Then until Matan Torah, the nature of the mitzvah was just to populate the world. Whether you're going to have Jewish children, not Jewish children, does make a difference. If B'nai Nerach are also Muzer, Mechuyiv in the Mitzvah Pruravu. And after Matan Torah, Al Pi Pashtos, one is only, the Mitzvah only applies to B'nai Yisrael. And you're only Yotze if you have Jewish children, not only because the children are not Mitzyachi Zacharov. You're only Yotze really if the children are considered Al Pi Din your children. So if I'm going to live with a non-Jewish woman and have children, so the children are Mitzyachi Zacharov, they're not Mitzyachi after me. Because there's no Yachas, there's no family relationship between a Jew and a non-Jew. That's the basis for the din of Gersh and his guy Kotten Shanar Ladami. After the person converts, he's no longer related to his original relatives, because you can't have any kurva between a Jew and a non-Jew. So it's learned up in the Pasuk. It says if a Jewish man lives with a non-Jewish woman, there's no tfisas ishus. She's not an ashes ish. Or if a Jewish woman lives with a non-Jewish man, they want to marry, there's no tfisas ishus. Why? Because ishus is also kurva. There's no tfisas kedushin because there can't be any kurva between a Jew and a goy. And that's why if a Jew lives with a non-Jewish woman or with a Shivka Knainis and they have children, so the Mishnah says in Yevamos that there's a pasuk in Chumash that if a man is married and he dies leaving no children, grandchildren, no descendants, so then his wife has to be the chalitza or yibum. But if there are descendants, then there's no need for chalitza or yibum. The descendants don't necessarily have to be from his wife. Let's say from this wife he never had any children, but from his girlfriend on the side he had children. Or from a previous wife, make it the head, but from a previous wife he had children. So the Mishnah says, what if a man dies, if he's married to a nice Jewish girl, man dies and he leaves no children from this wife, but he has children from a Shivcha, Knainis, or from a Nachris. So the Mishnah says, B'no, Mikol Makom, Poterish, Mishesh Labay, Mikol Makom, whoever has children from whatever previous marriage or out of marriage, doesn't make a difference, Poterish Ishtam and Ayimam and Achalis, even though there were no descendants from this wife, if the children are from a Shivcha and a Nachris, then they're not considered his children. When they get to pattering, it says a Beinei Lo, they're not considered his bonim. Biologically, of course, they are his children. But Al Pidin, they're not considered his children, they're not related to him, because they can't have any kurva. That's the same as Gersh and his Gar Kodeshan. They can't have any kurva between a Yisrael and a Nachri, and you can't have any kurva between a Yisrael and an Ebeknaini. Ebeknaini, Bechlal, is Ein Lo Yachas, it's not related to anybody. You can't have any. Even Ebeknaini to a Shivcha Knainis, you can't have any kurva. Ebeknaini Ein Lo Yachas, but certainly not between a Yisrael and an Ebeknaini. So if the Pashto says that Koide Matan Torah, the nature of the Mitzvah Pirev Revi was Puruvu Milos Oretz V'chiv Shua. Milos Oretz, it doesn't make a difference whether the children, not Mishyachas after you, not Mishyachas after you. Milos Oretz is enough. If the Matan Torah that the Mitzvah only applied to Bnei Yisrael, so the whole nature of the Mitzvah changed. The Pashto says that one is only in fulfillment of the Mitzvah if the children are Jewish, and then Mishyachas Zacharov, healthy Pashtos. And perhaps even that they have to be observant. That's a question. The Gemara in the first Perek in Brachos tells that Chizkiyahu HaMelech didn't marry. So Yishai HaNavi came to visit him to be Mevaka Chelus. So instead of telling him, I hope you get better, so he said, I hope you drop dead, because Yichai Nisi B'dei Shamayim, because you never got married. You won't get married, so Yichai Nisi B'dei Shamayim. So he said, he saw Baruch HaKodesh, that if he has children, they're going to be up there with his Zorah. So that's why he didn't marry. So Yishai HaNavi told them that you're not supposed to pass Kanshailas. You know that you're obligated to get married, and that's not an acceptable teretz. What you're obligated to do, you have to fulfill. You're not supposed to creep into the secrets of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Whatever he'll do, he'll do. So he told me he has to get married. So he married. So he got married, and then his life was lengthened significantly. So the question is, this argument that Chizkiyahu HaMelech had, that he didn't want to marry because he knew that his son was going to be an Ovid Avodah Zarah. So he obviously thought, Chizkiyahu HaMelech thought, that you don't fulfill the mitzvah Pirei Rivya just because you give birth to children. The children have to be observant. If the children are going to be Ovid Avodah Zarah, you're not in fulfillment of the mitzvah. Shaila is when Yishai HaNavi rejected that, what part of that was wrong? If you look in the Ein Yankif, they have a few Mefarshim there. The some Mefarshim say that his Ruach HaKodesh was wrong, that the facts were wrong, that his son Menashe was an Obed Avodah Zarah, but then later on he did Tshuva. That's one opinion in the Gemara in the end of Sanhedrin, the last Perek in Sanhedrin. That his son turned out that in the beginning, part of the time he was rotten, and then later on it turned out that he was good. And others say they're not supposed to pass Kanshailus based on Ruach HaKodesh. But if you would know Derech HaTeva, let's say someone is under the communist, and he knows that there's no way in the world that he's going to be able to raise his children as observant Jews. They're going to grow up to be atheists, like everybody else in the neighborhood. So Derech HaTeva, look, Lamala Men HaTeva, the whole communist government collapsed. Okay. But if the Derech HaTeva looks like the government is not going to collapse, it looks like they're going to pressure everybody to be atheist, to be of the Avodah Zarah, or whatever, so then it's not a question of Ruach HaKodesh, relying on Ruach HaKodesh. It just looks, the Derech HaTeva, that it's just not going to work. So then perhaps one could say the Chizkiyahu HaMelech would be right. So these are two pshatim that some of the Achreidim have. Some say that his Ruach HaKodesh was incomplete, that the full story was that his son Menashe worshipped Avodah Zarah, but he did tshuva. Others say you're not supposed to paskin any Shabbos based on Ruach HaKodesh. Then there's the third shot that says that you yoytze piru ribi even if the children are of the Avodah Zarah. Okay, so that's the third shot holds that the whole svara of Chizkiyahu HaMelech was incorrect. But the other two pshatim hold that it's not so, that the svara of Chizkiyahu HaMelech was correct, that the nature of the whole mitzvah changed after Matan Torah. The nature of the mitzvah is to transmit Jewish values to the next generation, not just to populate the world. No longer milus haaretz chivshua. After Matan Torah, the whole mitzvah only applies to the Jewish people. So the pashtus is, one is only a fulfillment of the mitzvah if he has Jewish children, to whom I can succeed in transmitting Yiddishkeit.
Is it personally okay for your children to survive?
If they don't survive, no. If they die, so the Gemara says in the end of Haboya Minta, there's one opinion that one is in fulfillment of the mitzvah even if the children die. That's not accepted. And his svara is, he holds that the nature of the mitzvah is to hasten the coming of Mashiach. That the mitzvah periravi is to hasten the coming of Mashiach, because the rabbis had a tradition, Ein ben David bo, ach yich l'kol nosham Mashiach b'guf. There's a chamber in heaven that's known as Guf, Gimel Vavtei, and all the Jewish neshamas are there. And we have to see to it, the mitzvah period of is we have to see to it that we hasten the coming of Mashiach by having all these babies born, having all the neshamas born into the world. So even if a baby's born and he dies, self kosof, another neshama was emptied out from the goof, from that chamber of heaven, and you fulfilled your mitzvah. But the Gemara says we don't accept that opinion. We paskin that if the children died before they themselves were able to have children, then you're not yotze the mitzvah. Or let's say one has children and he knows that they can't marry. They won't be able to get married. Either physically, they're not up to having children, or psychologically, whatever. I know that they're never going to have children. So then you're not in fulfillment in the mitzvah. The Gemara says if one had a son and a daughter, and the son had a child, the son had a daughter, and the daughter had a son, or if the son had a son, and the daughter had a daughter, so then you're yaitzeh peribri, because at least you have two grandchildren, even though the son and the daughter themselves died. But each one of them left the child, and you left surviving descendants of yours. You left a male and a female surviving descendant. If the son and the daughter each had a daughter, or each had a son, and then they die, and then you're left with two descendants who are both male or two descendants both female, then you're not yet to the mix. You have to have two descendants who are one male, one female, who are able to reproduce themselves. He's not in fulfillment of Peru Rivi. Yeah. Yeah. So then he can't. He can't fulfill the mitzvah. He's not shy. Yeah. That's the pashtus. The Rambam writes that the Gemara has a machlekes in the end of Perek Haboya Vimta machlekes Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. A Nochri who had children before he converted. And then later on, Hagershon is guy. Is he in fulfillment of Piri Rivi or not? So Rabbi Yochanan says he has fulfilled Piri Rivi. Rish Lakish says no. Gershon is guy. He's not related to the children. So that whenever there's a machlokes Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, we always pass like Rabbi Yochanan, with only three exceptions to the rule. That's the beginning of Perek Acheilus in Yom. This is not one of the three cases. That means that we pass like Rabbi Yochanan that Gershon is guy. V'hoyel abanim menachu Yusa is in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Piri Rivi. So the Rambam says, if the children also convert. So the Magen Mishnah writes on the Rambam, it's a svara pshuta that you're not in fulfillment, you can't be in fulfillment in the mitzvah of Piriviriviya if the children are not Jewish. They have to have converted also. And in Shulchan Aruch, the Bi'ur HaGro'ah doesn't agree with the Magen Mishnah. The Bi'ur HaGro'ah says that what the Rambam meant to say was, Afilu Nizgairu. if the children are not in his gairu, then he's certainly in fulfillment of the mitzvah period of review, because somehow Rabbi Yochanan holds that you don't apply Gersh and Nizgar Kotten Shanala Domi in this case, just because the father converted. But if both the father and the children converted, so each one floated away from each other, he said it's a double Gersh and Nizgar Kotten Shanala Domi. So the Rama might the Rama meant to say Afilu Nizgaru. The Beis Shmuel quotes the two pshatim, the Magid Mishnah's pshat and those who disagree with the Magid Mishnah. Whether the Rama meant to say Dafke bin Nizgaru, Afilu below Nizgaru. But the Magid Mishnah holds like that, and the Rambam, that when the Rambam says Nizgaru means Dafke Nizgaru, the one is only in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Piruvirivya if the children also convert. That's the pashtus. Koyde Matan Torah, the whole nature of the mitzvah was different. Milus Oretz v'chif Shua, just to populate the world. Milus Oretz. But after Matan Torah, that the whole mitzvah changed, is only Mutam Amrei Yisrael. So the pashtus is like the Magen Mishnah. Only Mutam Amrei Yisrael. We should populate the world. No, we should transmit Yiddishkeit to the next generation.
I don't understand the Rambam, because once the father converts, the kids convert, they're not his kids anymore. So, what did he accomplish?
That's Rishlokish's argument. Rishlokish says, Gershon is God, Kakat Mishnah, so he says he can't be in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Piruvirivya because they're not Mithyachis Akrov. That's a murderous kasha, what you're asking. That's Rishlokish's kasha, murderous kasha. We don't understand Rabbi Yochanan. It's not the.
And then by that far also, it should be that you could be Yosei by being a Rav who teaches children and never has to necessarily get married because he's contributing to the Jews and the Masorah.
Okay, right. So, we paskin that a little bit also. The Gemara says Benazai, someone like Benazai, according to one Gemara, according to one Medrash, according to one Gemara in the beginning of the story, that he got married to Rabbi Akiva's daughter. And then he saw marriage is not for him, so he got divorced and he never remarried. So the Rambam quotes the Gemara that if a person is involved in teaching Torah to others and Nafshel Chashka Batani just can't see himself married, so the Rambam quotes the Gemara, Ein Biyado Ovam. It's not considered like he's Mevatel that mitzvah or Pivri of you. Why not? Because, of course, he is transmitting Yiddishkeit in the next generation by teaching Torah to the public. Yeah, but that's on a second level. The first level should be that he should have his own children. And then next to that is if one adopts children. That's what the Mefarshim writes on the first page in Ebenezer. And the Chafetz Chaim has it in his writings in a few places. If one is unable to have children, so he should adopt the children. And then third best is that one should be, if he can't do A, he can't do B. So the third is that one should be Melamed Torah L'Acherim. Or the Chafetz Chaim says he should support those that can't have their own children, so what should they do? So they should machazikim bivreisi. They should support yeshivas. Why machazikim bivreisi support yeshivas? You support the yeshivas, so you're saying that you're transmitting Jewish values to the next generation. Yeah, there's a hierarchy. The best is to have your own children and to give them Jewish values. Next is to adopt children and transmit Jewish values, to adopt Jewish children. And the next is to be Malamed Torah L'Achem, and the next is to be Machzikim B'Risi, to support yeshivas. Okay, and Echanan. But the kasha is, the Rambam quotes Rabbi Yochanan, that he's yotzei fully the mitzvah. He yotzei the mitzvah, Piruv Rivya. He doesn't even have to try for level number one. Doesn't have to try to have, he should be married, the Gershon is Garki, should get married, but he can marry a girl who can't have any children at all, because he's already yotzei with the children that he had before, provided that they convert. So that's a shala, how can it be? But the Kikot Mishanayla Domista, how does Rabbi Yochanan get about Rish, how does he get around Rishlokish's argument on the first level? That should be like adopting children. That should be something else. How can that be considered Piru Revi on the first level? That's a good question. So Rav Elbel HaSolovetchik has something in the Shiurim, the end of Chorus, because Nimar has had some Achleks Rabbi Yochanan Rishlokish in the end of Chorus also by Pidyon Aben. So he says somehow it's a difficult word. That Rabbi Yochanan holds that you don't say Gershon is Gar Kot Shinal Ludami 100% in all cases with respect to all dinim. There are some cases where we don't apply Kot Shinal Ludami. You only apply it if the dinim are slightly different between Jews and non-Jews. Then you take Kot Shinal Ludami. Like what? Like the table of forbidden marriages. Which relatives are you not allowed to marry? Which you are allowed to marry? So it's not exactly identical by Bnei Noach and by Yisrael. So we say if there were two Nochem who converted, we say Kikot and Shana Ladami, even the brother and the sister can marry each other in Atar. It's only forbidden mid the Rabbana. Why is it Mutam in Atar? Kot and Shana Ladami. Why do you apply Kot and Shana Ladami? Because the list of forbidden marriages, the list of forbidden relatives, is slightly different between Jews and non-Jews. So therefore we say kikot and shenoladon. But there is, if it wouldn't be different, if there wouldn't have been a discrepancy, let's say for Yerusha purposes, the Gemara says in the first parak in Kiddushin that a ger minatar does not yarshin from his father. The made a takanim of the rabbanon that he should yarshin, but minatara we're concerned she'egzera shem yachzor l'surav. We're going to tell a ger that he doesn't. The din is minatar doesn't get the Yerusha. So he may decide to reconvert back to his original pagan religion in order to get the Yerusha. Still not going to help al pidin, even if he converts back, he's already gotten shenol dam, he shouldn't get it. But he may convert back in order to convince the Goyish government that he's entitled, in order to convince his Goyish brothers and sisters that he's entitled to get a Yerusha. So they made a din midirabbanon that the ger yarish is saviv midirabbanon in order to deter him, in order to shalo yachzor l'surav. So why is it that there you say minatar kikot and shenol adam? Because the laws of Yerusha are slightly different by Jews and by non-Jews. By non-Jews, the sons and the daughters yarshin equally, and there's no din of pishnayim by the b'chor. So whenever there's a slight, whenever there's a discrepancy between the hilchas kroivim, either hilchas kroivim for Yerusha purposes or hilchas kroivim for arayas purposes, whenever there's a discrepancy between the list of between the details of the halachas of kroivim between Jews and non-Jews, then you say kikot and shenol adam. But if you have some area of halacha where there's no discrepancy, then there's no reason to say kikot and shenol adam. Yeah, but over here there is a discrepancy. The goyim don't have the mitzvah perivirivya. Only the Jews have it. So why is this not considered a discrepancy? So I'm not sure the whole punchline of the vart, but they quote something in the notes of Rabbi Avolosov, at the end of Chorus, they quote something to this effect to try to explain. Rabbi Yechanan is worried about Resh Lachish's kasha. That's your kasha. Rabbi Yechanan is worried about it. The Gemara says, whenever Rabbi Yechanan gave a shir Resh Lachish, he used to ask him 24 kashas. That was one of the 24 kashas that he asked him. Another done with him. Maybe he asked the same thing 24 times. It's good. It's a very good kasha. It should be asked 24 times. We don't know how to Yamasev. We're not sure what the answer is. But apparently there's some kind of an answer. That's why we pass like Rabbi Yechanan. It's a very good kasha.
Would we say because of the fact that at one point going work I have improved, and maybe Rebellion might do one of these things and say since that once upon a time before Sinai,
because forget about Rebellion, we have to explain Rabbi Yechanan.
Well, no, I'm saying that where Rebellion could make the difference of Rabbi Arabia is that since the one time going work I have, even though now because of Sinai and not, that was only their choice because they were kept to the Torah, maybe he would say that these things that they should have been high out, but they were high out beforehand, right? Mm-hmm. So, made, right?
Could have been. I just ruined it. If you accept what I suggested, then I said the whole nature of the din changed after Matan Torah. The Kodesh Matan Torah was just to populate the world, and after Matan Torah is to transmit Jewish values to the next generation. So if you say what I said, with the Chafetz Chaim, with Machzikim B'Risi,
Ben Azai. There were clearly other din
The Rishonim in Nida Daf Yud Gimel and the Tosfos in Sanhedrin Daf Nun Tes have two opinions regarding the prohibition of Hashchas HaZera. The Gemara itself has two versions. One version in the Gemara in Nida Daf Yud Gimel and Aleph, Perik of the first Daf and Perik Alayat. The one presentation of the Amoraim is that there's a mitzvah Pirvirivya and Hashchas HaZera is a bitla mitzvah Pirvirivya. So that it should only apply to such people who have the mitzvah Pirvirivya. So Goyim Kodem Matan Torah Alpi Pashtus had, that's what it sounds in the Chumash, in the Gemara and Sanhedrin, they had Pirvirivya. They have the Matan Torah change. So this is Dora Mabel is good. According to the other version in the Gemara, the presentation in the Gemara, that Ashkos Azera is sort of an Abizraihu of Shvichas Damim. That if you murder a person, that's Shvichas Damim. So here, the Shvichas Azera had the ability to develop into a person, and you wasted it. That's it's a branch of the din of Ritzicha. But that it should apply equally to men and to women. It should apply equally to Jews and non-Jews, even after Matan Torah, if it's a branch of the din of Shvichas Damim. Anyway, but Rashi's quoting the Gemara. Rashi's not making it up. Rashi's quoting the Gemara that at least Koyde Matan Torah, for sure the Bnei Noach were Muzer and Ashkos Azera. The Shaila is, what about after Matan Torah? Are the Bnei Noach still Muzer and Ashkos Azera, Bisman Azera or not? Because they're no longer Muzer, they no longer have the mitzvah periri, but they still have the prohibition of Ritzicha. So what is the nature of this din of Ashkos Azera? Is it a branch of periri or is it a branch of Ritzicha? Yeah.
I just saw that someone
wouldn't appear so from the Gemara. Wouldn't appear so at all. But Tosis has one opinion that's not accepted la halacha. Tosis has one opinion that a person who has children or who plans to have children is only a violation of Hashkos Azera if he does it on a regular basis. If once in a long while he does Hashkos Azera, you can't say that that's an Issa. So that's on your side. Let's see. If I go around and I murder someone once in a while, not so bad as long as they don't catch me. If I kill them, how could that be? So it means Tosis seems to be assuming, Tosis says, suggests such a day in order to farem for kasha. So that day in Tosis seems to hold that it's because of the bitla mitzvah peririvya. So as long as he already fulfilled peririvya, or he plans to fulfill peririvya, just be kroy bi'alma, he does hashkos hazera. So that day he says that there's no issa. But to say that because he already fulfilled peririvya, there's no issa, probably not. Wouldn't it be so?
Is it possible to hear me about blood on the hands before murder?
Blood on the hands, what?
If they have blood on their hands, would that be for murder?
Yep. Yeah. The Gemara Nida quotes the different sources for the prohibition of Hashkos Azera. So some sound like a bitla mitzvah peririvi, and others sound like ritzicha. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's one of the psukim that they quote. So that's where Rashi explains why it says kolaches b'amo mashin kilu maybe ma b'lo elom. Tosis points out, the top Tosis points out, the afal gav the rabbanim plugi alei, the chachamim, the Reb Lezer, disagree. And they hold that it's mutter lechos ba'amo b'shas hashtona. So Tosis says, if you look in the Gemara Nida, the only reason why they disagree, lo shari elo, mishu mamzeri shalei roi, ki ku shofchav yatziu la'az albanim she'im mamzerim. If the fellow is not going to be yoches ba'amo b'shas hashtona, the meraglam is going to be all over the place, the people will assume that this man is probably a ku shofchav. So it's impossible for him to be moilit. So how come he has a family full of children? So it must be that the children are not his children, that his wife must have been Mizana and had the children from somebody else. So that's the opinion of the Chachamim who disagree with Rav Lezer. They say it's muta lechas b'omo lahashtin v'shas hashtan it's muta. In order to clear his children from the hashash laz, that people shouldn't think that he's a kushofcho who's not roi laholid. But everybody agrees that the stamazoi shalot v'shas hashtan for sure. Also lechas b'amo. So that's the Gemara's kasha here. How could he be misupik whether Rabba Bo when he went swimming and when he went into the mikveh, whether he was noga loy noga? Of course, he lechol ha'days he's not allowed to be nogea because here it's not b'shas hashtona. He's not doing it. He's not touching his aver in order to protect his children from hashasha mamzeres. Abaye says, well, maybe asuul kiboleshes. Maybe they treated it like the soldiers. What's the soldiers? There is a mishnah in Ksubis. If there's a troop of soldiers who are moving through town, so if it's Bishav Shalom, if it's a peaceful season, and the soldiers are moving through town, often the United States soldiers, and they're just traveling from the East Coast to the West Coast, and they stop off in a city. So there's no antagonism. They're not shooting anybody. It's peaceful. So then we assume chavius psuchas hasuris, and the soldiers are goyim, and they take over my home. They kick out all the tenants, but sometimes they leave the tenants there. They leave the people in the apartments, and they push everybody in one room, and they use the rest of the house. So the chavius stumas on the Torah, the closed barrels of wine are mutter. What are you going to be choshev? What he opened it up, he was menasechet, and then he closed it up again. It looks closed. It doesn't look like it was opened at all. So the Gemara says if it looks like it was closed from the very beginning, if you have choysam, so you know that Goyish's soldiers didn't check it. They didn't start up over here. But psuchos are asuras. But if you have an open barrel of wine in your apartment, you have to be concerned that maybe the nochri was menasach the wine, because in the days of the Tanoim, that's a Mishnah leader, days of the Tanoim, the people were very, very religious. The Avodah Zarah were very religious, and they were very into nisach hayayin, and if there would be any opportunity to there'd be an open container, they would certainly go start up and be menasach the yain. The question is whether bizman hazeh, if you have a non-Jewish babysitter, and you leave the house, you go to a wedding, and then you come back 6 hours later, so you have to, and you had an open bottle of wine that was opened, and you can't tell whether the Nachri fooled around with the wine or not. So the question is whether Bizman Hazeh still have to be concerned about that din. The Nachri Bizman Hazeh are so religious, babysitters are so religious that they're going to go look for all the wine in order to be Menasa, probably the Zara. So Moshe Feinstein writes, maybe all the wine is awesome. So, but in Shulchan Aruch, they talk about that Bizman Hazeh, they're not so religious. They're coolest in the Shulchan Aruch. What about Bishas Melchama? What if the soldiers are soldiers from the enemy? They're not from your country. Bishas Melchama, and they're shooting and they're busy. Not just that they're relaxing around, they're taking having a good time. Then we say Eluvielu Mutaris. Even the open barrels of wine are also muta. The Fishein Pnei Lanasas. They're busy shooting, and have to watch that they don't get killed themselves. So they don't have any time for their religion. Ain't penai benasach. We have the right to assume that that they didn't have any time to be menasach the wine. So Alma, what do you see from that Mishnah? What's the klal? Cave in the Be'isi, since they're scared, what are they scared of? They're scared because they're in the middle of a war. Le'menasach, they have no time to menasach the wine. So if an army over here also, when the fellow went swimming, when Rabbi Abbo used to jump into the lake to go swimming, an army cave in the boys, lo'yasi he'lehir hure. Since he's nervous, so therefore, we don't even, perhaps even if he would touch his aver, maybe this would not be, maybe they hear her, and therefore it wouldn't cause any hashkos azera. Frek di gemar v'hach may bi asusa. What is going to be nervous about? Frek di gemar, bi asusa di nahara. It's the fear of jumping into the lake. He's going to jump into the water. See, he's nervous about that. So at the time, even if he were to touch his aver, it probably would not cause any hashkosas there. Vegmar Kasha, but doesn't it pose a different problem? 80, isn't there a different problem? Forget about hashkosas there, even if you don't touch, even if you're not noga, Bamar Abab, Bamar Abun Amar Rab, Kalamini Fyodu, can I get Padam Shalmati, Kilikofi, Bisha Shalavraham Avinu? Looks as if he's trying to hide the fact that he's Jewish. Rashi Kilu, Dinira Shehu Bosh Bedover, as if he's embarrassed over the fact that he has a bris milah. The Pashtus means that he's swimming with Jews and non-Jews together. No one's wearing any clothes, and all the others are Arelim. And he's embarrassed to show the fact that he's a Mahul. He wants to hide the fact that he's Jewish. So that's the Gemara is opposed to that. As if he wants to deny that a Jew dresses up like a Goy. He goes in the street, dresses up like a Goy to hide his identity. So that's not right. A Jew is not supposed to hide the fact that he's Jewish. So the Gemara answers, like, so the Gemara says, how was he allowed to cover over? So he could have said he was in the mikveh. All the people around were Jewish. Or they could have said he was going swimming in a religious beach. Mustama, there was no Frumah beach then. So he was going swimming together with the Goyim. They were all going swimming together. So the Gemara says, doesn't that pose a problem? So the Gemara says, loy kasha, hoki noch, is hoki salik. It depends. When he's coming up from the water, it depends when he's jumping into the water or he's coming up from the water. When he's jumping into the water and his back is to the public, all of the people are sitting behind him, so then there's nothing for him. So why should he want to hide the fact that why should he want to cover over his aver? Because he doesn't want people to see that he's Jewish. So that's not right. But Kisalik, when he comes out of the water and he's facing all of the people, so Mishum Tznius, he doesn't want to be, he's not wearing any clothes, but he doesn't want to be exposed. So that's Mishum Tznius, that makes sense. Where do you get such an idea that it makes a difference whether your back is towards the people or you're facing the people? Kiho, we have the following incident. Rava Shochi. Rava would bend over whenever he would be swimming in public in order that that he shouldn't be naked in front of everyone. Abzerev would stand Zakit, he wouldn't be embarrassing. Abana the Beir Rav Ashi, the Talmid of Rabashi's yeshiva had this compromise. Kikra nachsi, when they would be jumping into the river, and then most of the people would not see them, zakfi, they would stand straight. Kikra salka, when they came out of the water, shaka, they would bend over a little bit. Mishum tznius. But when they went into the water, no one was seeing them, just a question of hiding the fact that they're Jewish. They didn't want to hide the fact that they're Jewish. But kilo koyfe bebrisa shalav ramadim. Okay, Rav Zera was a character who didn't fit into the Olam HaYeshivas. He used to kick him out of one yeshiva, next yeshiva. He didn't like, he didn't go along with the style. There are people today who don't fit into any of the yeshivas. So he didn't like it, so he decided he's on Teretz Yisrael. But he knew that his Rebbe, Rav Yehuda, was opposed. He was an anti-Zionist. Rav Yehuda held you're not allowed to go Teretz Yisrael. So Rav Zera had become, so he was hiding from his Rebbe, Rav Yehuda. He was afraid Rabbi Yehuda to say, oh, you want to go to Eretz Yisrael? You're not allowed to go. He didn't want the Rebbe to tell him, you're not allowed to go. So he was hiding. He was hiding from Rabbi Yehuda. He avoided him. He was avoiding him. The boy Lemetek, Larry the Yisrael, because he planned on going, Rabbi Zera planned on going to Eretz Yisrael, because it didn't work out for him well in any of the yeshivas. Dama Rabbi Yehuda, and he knew that Rabbi Yehuda says, Kol Olam Abav Laretz Olav Ibeesu, Shenemad, and all the Yirmiyah said, Bevel Yevohu, Rishama Yiyu. They have to stay in Babel. They're not allowed to go back to Eretz Yisrael. Well, Anissa, you're not allowed to go back to Eretz Yisrael. What's the Issa that you're not allowed to go back to Eretz Yisrael? Because all the Talmid HaChamim were there in Babel. If you're going to leave Babel, go back to Eretz Yisrael. It's going to be a wasteland. Like in the late 1800s, when the Jews were moving to Eretz Yisrael. So most of the Tzaddikim, most of the Rabbanim were opposed. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, among the Misnagdim, and all the Chassidim, they were all opposed. Because it was a wasteland in Eretz Yisrael. The whole Olam HaTorah was in Europe. So here also, Baveli Yivov B'Sham HaYiyu. They're leaving the center of Torah. They didn't want them to leave. What? I don't know. Yeah, Rashi quotes the Gemara Ksubis that Rav Zera disagreed with his Rebbe. Rav Zera Amalach, Rav Zera Hall, Taikra B'Kleisharis Ksid, Kiravid Mishnein Dining Zeris. Quotes the Gemara the end of Ksubis that it's a machloikas. The Rebbe has a, the Talmud, if he's Higia Lo Hairoa, has a right to disagree with the Rebbe. So I don't know, maybe Rav Zera was a Higia Lo Hairoa, he was entitled to his own opinion in interpreting the Pshat and the Pasuk in Yirmiyah. That's what Rashi quotes on the Gemara Ksubis. The Rav Zera understood that pasuk only goes on the Klisharis. It's a nevuah. Baveli Yevo B'Sham Yehu. It's a nevuah, but it's not a nisa. He holds it's not a nisa resa. But he wanted the chaparim, but he felt bad. He learned from Rav Yehuda apparently for so long. He wanted the chaparim in the last word from Rav Yehuda. Yes. Yeah, it means if a balabos asks a shaila to the Talmud, so the Talmud should say, go ask Rabbi so-and-so, ask my Rebbe.
Oh, but not themselves.
But if I disagree with my Rebbe, so I'm entitled to my opinion. If I'm a chacham shehigia lo hayroa, that's an if. That's a question. Where does the Rambam have these dinim about where you live? Perakei. Mutalishka Mechol Ha'olam Chutz Me'eretz Mitzrayim. You can live anywhere in the globe, North Pole, South Pole, Chutz Me'eretz Mitzrayim. B'shloshem Mekamis Hasir HaTorah Shalal Loshav LeMitzrayim. And he quotes the three Pesukim. You're not allowed to live in Eretz Mitzrayim. Also, lots is merit to sell the chutz lord to the olam. Elulul matar alisa isha lahatzal manakam yachzal lord ching yaitzu hulis korum. Alalishkam b'chutz lord osir elam kem chazak sham hara vachan asa shavadina chitim. Fine. Where does he have this din? Yud beis? Kishem sotzer lots is meha oretz lechutz lord kachos lots is mi bovel the Shar Ha'aratza Shenema Bavel Yevo Shama Yihiyu. Why? Also, Lotz is Does Gemara say that's the reason why? Because all the Talmid HaChamim were in Bavel. Bavel Yavol Vishama Yehiyu. In the days of the Rambam, it was also the case. The Rambam is quoting it for Halacha Lamaisa. Is that separate Issa? It's because the Talmid HaChamim lived there. Machmas HaTorah Shibbo. Yeah, that's what the Lechem Mishnah quotes from the Gemara. You're not allowed to leave Bavel because there was a lot of Torah in Bavel. So let's say a person lives in Washington Heights and is going to go move to Teaneck. How can you leave Washington Heights? Huh? The center of Torah. A person lives in Borough Park, a flat person, then is going to go to Texas or something. That's Mamish Disney. Also, lots of me Bavel, the Shah Haratz, Shinema. The Lechem Mishnah quotes the Gemara, that's what it means. Because in Bavel, that was the Mokum, that was the main. Tirish Rashi Sham Lefi Shiesham Yeshiva Sam Abitas Torah Tomid. That's the reason why. The Lechem Mishnah takes it that the Rambam does not hold like that Rashi. He says the Rambam quotes the Pasuk, Bevel Yevel B'Shem Yehu, as if it's Gzeiras HaKosuv. And the Rambam writes it even in his days. The Rambam writes it didn't still apply. What? In the days of the Rambam, there was a bigger center of Torah in Bavel than there was in Eretz Yisrael. I don't know. The question, Lahalacha, what are we passing on this din? Yeah.
How do you learn a
mitzvah
sase from a
pasuk in Yom Yehu? A mitzvah sase midir kabbalah. It's not a mitzvah sase midir aisa. There are mitzvahs midir abonim. There are mitzvahs midir aisa. And then there are mitzvahs midir kabbalah. It means a mitzvah midir abonim that has the approval of the Ruach HaKodesh.
And how do we do this in according to Kiryu when people leave all the time?
Maybe it depends what maybe it depends what his intention is. His intention is just to live in the other place, or his intention is to do Kiryu. To do Kiryu of Mestam and Mutta. Nachum also, this Reb Zeira didn't agree with his Rebbe. He was afraid, Rashi writes. He was hiding. He didn't want to bump into the Rebbe. Yori pen yigzer olam milela. Rashi writes. He was afraid the Rebbe's going to tell him directly, you're not allowed to leave. You're not allowed to go back to Eretz. You're not allowed to go to Eretz Yisrael. So he was hiding from him. But then when he made up his mind, he's going to Eretz Yisrael, he decided, Omar ezel ve'eshme mine milse ve'esi. Let me go here with the Dvar Torah, and then I'm going to go to Eretz. Ve'esi ve'esa. Then I'm going to go up to Eretz Yisrael. I'm going to go in Aliyah. Ozal, so he went to Reb Yehuda. Ashkechei dekoy beibani. Reb Yehuda was in the bath house. Bekomalei l'shamei, Reb Yehuda tells his gabai, Havili nesha havili masreik. Please give me some shampoo. He says in Lashon HaKodesh, please give me shampoo. Stamba, he saw Reb Zera there, so he wanted to practice his Ivrit. He started speaking in Ivrit. So he says, havili masreik. Because then everything else that he said in Aramaic. The first two things he said in Hebrew. So he says, Havili Masrek Havili Neser. Pizchuk, then he switched back to Aramaic. Pizchuk to Michael the Apiku Havla. Open up your mouths and let the heat go out of your mouth. But Ashtu Nimai de Bebani. And take a drink of the hot water that was heated up for the bathhouse. So the Talmud, Rav Zera, was so excited that he went. And then he left. The Talmud left. That's all. He just heard these Dibrechol. So the Talmud says, "El mole basi al deshmar davizet dayoy." This was gevalik. It was worth my visit to listen to the Rebbe. The last word from the Rebbe, he's going to remember for the rest of his life. He's all excited. So the Gemara wants to know, what was he so excited about? What did he hear over here? So the Gemara said, "Bishleim haviyones haviyom masrei kamashma andram shelcha mutal yomer v'losh nakodesh." It could be that this Reb Zera is practicing to go on Aliyah. I went to an old pan. They told him it's such a big mitzvah to talk losh nakodesh. He thought maybe not a lot of talking Beis Hakisa. It was so exaggerated by him. So he saw the Rebbe talking Lashna Kodesh Beis Hakisa. He learned number one is Mutar. Okay. Yvam Shalchol, Mutar Yvam Velashna Kodesh. Okay. So that's halacha number one. Then the other two things that he learned from the Rebbe, Pischu Pumaych Vapiko Havla, that's also important. Nami Kirishmo, Demishmo. He taught him something healthy. Havla Mapik Havla. Sure. Havla Mapik Havla. If you take a hot bath, this will. If a person has a fever and he wants to get rid of the fever. So if you take a hot bath, so hablo, mafik hablo. Rashi writes hablo de merchot anichnas der hapeh is mafik hablo de zeil. Some of that's healthy. Okay. So he learned this, and it's important a person has to be careful about his health. So he was very happy that he heard this from Rabbi Yudin. Ever ashtemai the beibani my mal yusa. What was so important about that last thing? You should drink the water that was heated up for the bathhouse. They didn't have samovars to drink water. He said, ashtemai the beibani. Even if need be, drink the water that was heated up for the floor, for the bathhouse. What's so gevaldig about that? Tanya, the Gemara quotes a price. Och avol shosa achilas adam. It's unhealthy to eat without drinking together. You have to drink also. Okay. If a person eats and he doesn't drink with the eating, that's not helpful. Fine. If the person eats and he goes to sleep right away, that's very unhealthy. You have to walk Dalai Lama. You don't have to take a long walk, but at least walk Dalai Lama. That's what the Gemara says in the end of Bav Metzia. It says, I'm Bav Metzia Kufi Gimel. It says in the end of Bav Metzia, you shouldn't have a one-room apartment. Because if you're going to eat and sleep in the same room, there's a concern you may eat and right away go to sleep. So you have to have two different rooms, a bedroom and a dining room, so at least you walk Dalai Lama's from the bedroom to the dining room before you go to sleep. Okay? You have to walk a little bit. And this talking about a cup of the ochel, if a person has to go to the bathroom, he shouldn't eat right away. What if he eats without first going to the bathroom? That's ridiculous. That's like a tanner is full of ashes, and the ashes are not going to burn. And then they put in new logs, and they kindled the new logs to make a fire, and they left in the old ashes. The fire is not going to do its job completely because the ashes are in the way. First, the person should first be nitzvach l'nekav. He should first go to the Beis Hakise, and then eat his meal afterwards with an empty stomach, with an empty inside. And v'zeh u'tchilas reyach zuhama. It's unhealthy. It's bad for the body odor. And if a person takes a hot bath and he doesn't drink something hot, the whole idea of a tanner is that you have the heat inside. If you only have the logs outside of the furnace, then you're going to put the food inside. It's not going to bake so well. It's not going to cook so well. You have to have the source of heat. It has to be in the inside. See, when a person takes a hot bath, the main thing is, in addition to the hot bath, he should drink something hot. They should go inside the kishkas also. So either have a samovar with hot water, or shasamehem, drink some of the hot water in the bathtub. I don't think it means dafke. It means dafke to drink from the beibani. Even if there's no other water other than the beibani, you should drink that also. Huh? I think so. It didn't go on the body. Yeah. It means even if there's no other water aside from this water, so still you should drink that water. Rashi writes, Va'ashtu, Rashi before, when Rav Zera saw Rav Yehuda in the bathhouse and he was telling him, Ashtu menamayim acham, afidu lehuch me'elu l'rechitza. Even if you don't have water that was hucham l'shtiyo, it's only the water that was hucham l'rechitza, and it's on the floor or something, as long as it's not contaminated, so you should drink that water also. So the Gemara says, because you have to have, not enough that you have hisikum me'bachutz, you have to have hisikum me'bifnim. And then the brisa, this is all a brisa about things that are healthy. Why is it a brisa? And the Rambam quotes a lot of things also. The Rambam sometimes quotes the Gemara, writes his own things in Hilchos Deis, because there is a din a person has to be careful about his health. His good health and his body doesn't belong to him; it belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's an apotropos on everything. He has to make sure that he shouldn't commit suicide, that he shouldn't cause himself to be unhealthy. So that's why the Gemara spends a lot of time speaking about what the doctors in their generation thought was healthy for the body. And Rochet Bechamed, Lemishtat Bitzainen, Daman the Barzel, Shet Nesulu, Vlet Nesulu Tzainen. Just like there's a concept of Tziruf, which the Gemara is going to pick up on the next daf, on the base, on Mem Aleph on the base, that if you have some kinds of metal, you have to cook burning hot water in the metal. And then you pour it out quickly and you put in ice cold water. So that somehow will temper the metal and make it stronger. So too with the body. That's what the doctors in the days of the Gemara said. That you have to, when you take a hot bath, rochat b'chamin, you have to take a cold shower right afterwards and that will make you healthier. I don't know. Is that still recommended today?
Maybe they do.
Yeah? They follow the Gemara. Oh. You follow the doctors on the days of the Gemara?
Sure.
You're mechuyev to listen.
That they're only
The Pashtus is like the Chassam Sefer writes in the Tshuvas, that the Chazal listened to the doctors in their generation. We have to listen to the doctors in our generation. That's what their doctors recommend. Okay. So whatever they think is the best for their health, they have to do. It's Talmud Torah in the sense that we're the moral of the story is that you have to keep yourself healthy. That's the Talmud Torah. No, the actual thing? No, it's not Talmud Torah. I don't think so. Rochatz v'loisoch, yeah, by baby. You wash a baby, so you smear the baby with baby oil. Finally, they had their doctors told them that after you take a bath or a shower, you have to smear yourself with oil. Okay. After you take a bath or after you take a shower, you have to shmi yourself with oil. Okay? So this is what this is.
The story before with the Meleshes, we were only concerned about the Nikhas of the Ayin. There was no Zera of Stam Yenom of the
Stam Yenom, there are two kinds. One Stam Yenom is if the Nochri manufactures the wine. Then there's a concern, Mishum B'nei Seim, that I may be interested in marrying his daughter in order to have this constant supply of this delicious wine. But if the wine was manufactured by Jews, and then the Goyim handle it, so the Pashto says that you don't have that concern of B'nei Seim, you only have the concern, maybe he'll be Nogea to be Menasechet. Yeah, if he sticks his hand in, that's a concern of Nisuch. Nisuch is not only if you pour it out. Nisuch is the sticky head, and it's also Nisuch. If the Nochri carries a barrel like this, the Gemara talks about Nochrim carrying open barrels on their shoulders, and if they want to, they could stick their hands in. But I see that they're not sticking their hands in. Well, let's say an open bottle of wine. He can't stick his hands in. He can barely stick his pinky in. But he's not sticking his pinky in. He's just hoping. He's just transporting an open bottle of wine. So that per se, there's no chashash Nisuch. If the Nochri takes a bottle and Kaka shakes it like this and says, I'm doing it Hashem Nisuch, and it's open, then it does become awesome. But we don't have to be concerned about that, that maybe the Nochri was Menasech, unless he sticks his hand in, unless he pours it. Koko, if he pours the wine out, so the Gemara says that the wine that came out is also because of Koko, because he poured it, even though he didn't do Maga, actual Maga, he didn't touch the wine. But if the Nochri is pouring, so then he asks the wine, unless it's Yayim Mevushel. So then we assume that just like we wouldn't use Yayim Mevushel al Gabi HaMizbeach, so they probably wouldn't be Menasechet either. But if it's not Yayim Mevushel, so the wine that comes out is also Nitam Kocho. Kocho is it's considered as if there had been Amaga. And the wine that's still back in the bottle is also because of Notzok. We say Notzok Chibur. Since the wine that came out is also, so even the wine that's back inside the bottle is also awesome because of Notzok Chibur and Stam Yenom. Machumer and Stam Yenom. Machlek, that's how we pass it. So we're Machmer on the Notzok Chibur.
If you see it in the Gemara and it says, this is a health thing, do it this way. And we see that the doctor is saying, our doctor say, you do it like this, you do it like that. Are you doctor doing that if you're out, let's say, shower, but you don't follow up the hot shower with the cold shower?
The Pashto says we assume that whatever it says in the Gemara is based on the doctors of their generation.
Right, I'm saying that we have the Din Gemara and we see that the doctors are moaning now, and we see that this is a pretty objective thing across the board. Are you doing an Avirah if you don't shower this way? If you just take a shower and you don't turn the focus.
Right, so we don't follow these Gemaras. We don't follow. The Rishonim say all the things that it says. The Gemara in the beginning of Perek Nishach Sukkur Daikis, and Masech the end of Masech Gitna has a few blot Gemara about medical recommendations. So the Rashba quotes from the Goyim that whoever follows these medical recommendations is Dama Barosha. He deserves to get sick. Because you should follow the doctors of our generation.
No, but if our doctors are saying the same thing.
Our doctors say the same thing as in the Gemara. Yeah, then the Gemara says he's supposed to listen to the doctors to keep yourself healthy. You're doing an Avera, it means you're not doing a mitzvah of taking care of your good health. Every person should realize that he's an apotropos on his body. That's how the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Tein lo mishalo. When you give tzedakah to the Ribbono shel Olam, you should consider it as if you're just giving him back the money that belongs to him. Shatov v'shelcho shalohu, that you and all of your possessions belong to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'chein b'dovet ho'aymer, ki l'cho hakol, Everything belongs to you, and we're just giving you back what's really yours. In other words, our attitude is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a body and he gave us possessions, and we're apotropsim on all of this, and we have to do what the Balabais told us to do with it. And if a person misuses his talents or misuses his body, a person misuses his body to do an Aveira, that's in addition to the fact that he did an Aveira, it's also a violation of Gezel. That's what Rav Soloveitchik suggested, the pshat and the tefillah that we add on Yom Kippur by Ne'ilah. We say a few times, he mentioned more than once, Leman Nechdal Me Oshik Yodeinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the ability to stop stealing. Everybody's like, huh? What kind of a lashon of a tefillah is that? Leman Nechdal Me Oshik Yodeinu. So he explained, whoever ever did an aveira in his life is in violation of Gezel. He's using his body, he's using his talents, he's misusing his body and his talents, and he's misusing his property. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us money, and the Baruch Shalom wants us to be gizbarim on the money, and apotropsim on the body. We have to take care of it. We have to do what the Balabai tells us to do. Whenever we don't take care of our health, it is an issa, yeah. We're doing an aver. We have to, we're being moil behegdish, moil apotropsis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu appointed us as an apotropos on our bodies, and we have to take good care of our health. That is correct, yeah. But we don't necessarily follow the medical advice of the doctors of the Gemara. There are a lot of things that say in Shulchan Aruch already that we don't follow. It says in the Shulchan Aruch, we discussed it. It says if the bris was done on Shabbos, so you have to bathe the baby with hot water before and after the bris. You're not allowed to perform a bris on Shabbos unless you bathe the baby beforehand, and then after the bris is performed, you have to bathe the baby with hot water. So it says in the Shulchan Aruch that we don't do that. We don't do that today. The Gemara considers it a safek sakon. The Gemara says you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos to cook the hot water after the bris in order to bathe the baby. And we assume the Mechaber, right? So we assume today it's not a Sofek Sakana. A lot of things like that, what it says in the Gemara is assumed to be not so today. Magen Avraham has a whole list of these. When the Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Hayim writes about having, the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Gemara in Pesachim about having fish and meat that were cooked together. So the Magen Avraham quotes from different Mekoris in the Gemara that different things clearly change from the days of the Gemara to the days of the Shulchan Aruch, and gives you references in Shulchan Aruch. So the Magen Avraham thinks that this probably also changed. He doesn't see that there's any sakana with the fish and the meat together.
Does the Magen Avraham also say something that pertains to the bear? Over there, because he must have just one of the things there.
No. In the days of the Magen Avraham, they didn't realize that there was an issue. That issue came up later. They say that in Europe, some babies died because the moil has some kind of disease and they transmitted it. So that's why some rabbanim said you shouldn't do mitzitza with that. Yes, that's the pashtus, that's the ABC. You have to follow the doctor. Ein lecha ela doctor shebi'amel. Whatever the doctors in your generation say, you're supposed to follow. Okay, let's see. Mishnah Hamechem shepinehu. Hamechem is a big samovar, metal samovar. Shepinehu, that we're not sure how to translate the word pinehu. Pinehu means I emptied it out. The finuos habayis, the term yavo hakohen, tesis on the top of Omen Beis. The second tesis runs through different psukim, different mishnayis. Whatever the word pinehu means in Tanakh doesn't necessarily have to have the same meaning in mishnayis. Sometimes you say loshen tar b'chud v'loshen chachamim b'chud, but in mishnayis a lot of times the word pinehu means I emptied it out. Or the word pinehu can mean that it was on the burner. This mecham, this samovar, this pot of hot water was cooking on the fire. And then I took off the whole pot and I put it on the countertop. So pinehu could either mean I poured out the water. Pinehu means I took it off of the esh. It's no longer al gabi esh, but it's still the kli rishon shel al gabi esh. We're not sure what he did, pinehu. Lo yitzen etochet tzoinen, shil sheyachemu. You're not allowed to pour in cold water. That the cold water should get burning hot. You're permitted to put in a lot of cold water into the samovar, kedei lahavshiran, that it should become lukewarm. In other words, havshero, lo zehu bishulam. Taka debi machloikis and memam and base, whether havshero zehu bishulam, havshero lo zehu bishulam. It's a beferish and mishnah, havshero, lo zehu bishulam. So that's probably what prompted Rashi to give his interpretation. Rashi learned, Rashi said the more than once, on Mem on the base. The issue of Hashem is every shula is b'mokam haroi lebishul. If I'm going to put a pot of cold water on top of the fire, I'm only going to leave it long enough that the chill should be taken out, it should become lukewarm, and I'm going to stand there and watch it. I'm going to keep on sticking in my hand to make sure that it doesn't become yatzo lettuce. And the minute that it seems like it's getting a little too lukewarm, I'm going to take it off. So that's the machlekes. Hefsher b'mokam haroi lebishul, zel bishula. Not that it's an bishul deraisa. Maybe I should make it there the rabbanon. He may be distracted. He may think of something else. And then the moment that it's going to switch to become yatzo lettuce, he won't be paying attention. And he'll forget and he'll leave it there. And it'll turn out that he was machal Shabbos b'shogeg. But let's say he's just going to make poshrim in such a way that he can't go further. That's all. Just going to become poshrim. So Rashi learned that Mem on the base. No one ever said it. Never was a shita. Hefsher is el bishula. That's a bishul deraisa. At least by Mayim, there never was. Maybe by Shemin. Maybe by Shemin there was a machlekes, but Hefsher is el bishula. But by Mayim, Rashi learned that the machlekes is, they all agree that in order to violate bishul deraisa by Mayim, you have to have yatzo lettuce. And the machlekes, Hefsher is el bishula, is they make exer the rabbanon against doing lahavshir b'makom haroi lebishul that you may forget and leave it too long. So it could be that he got it from this mishnah. The mishnah says kidei lahavshir when it's mutter. There's no machloik. What does mean letoch hakos? Means if I pour the water into a klisheni, I have hot water in a klisheni, and I'm going to pour in, let's say I have hot coffee and I'm going to pour in some milk. I have hot tea and I'm going to pour in some lemon juice. So it says that that's permissible. Yeah, letoch hakos. So why is it only muta kidei lahavshiram? It should be muta because klisheni ain't in the vashem. And there never was a gzera derabbanon. Taisus had on Lamatesam and Aleph the Ri had two opinions. And we machmer, the Ramo is machmer, like the first opinion. And the Ri on Lamatesam and Aleph the Ramas kol Shabbat b'chamin. But he says only Mechzikim Avashel. There's no Mechzikim Avashel on tablin, because you don't eat it as a Bifnei Atzmo. And there's no Mechzikim Avashel on liquid zira, because it's all Misarev Yachad. That's what the Gemara says on the next daf, on Mem Beis Amid Aleph, that in a Klisheni for sure, you're permitted to pour in. So we'll have to see the Gemara. Why does it say in the Mishnah, Anos and Atach HaKos, you should be permitted to put into the coast. The coast is a cliche. Should be permissible to put into the coast, even kidei lahartiach, even if what you're pouring in is going to become yatza lettuce. Should also be muta because it's cliche in the lash. Okay, we'll have to see the Gemara. So the Gemara wants to know, how do you translate the word my pinehu? The Gemara asks, my ko omar, Rashi says, my pinehu. There are two ways to translate pinehu. Pinehu means you poured out the water, or pinehu means you moved the whole pot off of the fire. Pshat is like this. I emptied out all the hot water. You're not permitted to put in a little bit of cold water because that cold water is going to get burning hot. And this pot is a toldos ha'esh. We just had the Mishnah before. In Gilgal Chayiv Chatos, the bottom of Lamed Chesam Beis. And there's the Beit of the Tzara Mechem, the Shvil Shet is Galgil, the Layav Kiyen of the Sudorim. The Sudar was heated up. The Sudar is a toldos hachama. And the Gemara says, Gilgal Chayiv Chatos on the last line on Lamed Ches on the base, that Bishul the toldos ha'esh is deraisa. So if I take a mecham from on top of the fire, I pour out all the water and I put the mecham on the side. So the mecham was heated up. The mecham is burning hot. That was metal, burning hot metal heated up by the fire. I put in cold water so that Bishul the toldos ha'esh. So that says, Leit and the tocha maim wat, and stay sheichem. That's the Nisa deraisa. Aval nos and the tocha maim rubim. I'm going to put in a lot of cold water that I know in advance that the water is not going to become yatza lettuce. The ultimate is going to become poshim. That's permissible. How do you permit him to empty out all the hot water? He had a samovar full of burning hot water. He empties it out and he puts in cold water, fills it up to the top. Maim rubim kidei lahavshirim. Craig the Gemara. When you empty out the whole pot from burning hot water and right away you put in ice cold water, that's going to accomplish tziruf on the pot. If the pot didn't have tziruf previously, it could be that the pot already had tziruf from before.
How many
spring gave a lot of water, will the first drop hit the bottom and come to?
Yeah, that doesn't count. Let's say you have a pot full of vegetable soup. Big pot full of vegetable soup. Someone pours in a little bit of chazashmalt. So the chazashmalt gives nesinas tam when it drops into the top upper layer of the vegetable soup, it gives nesinas tam. But it's awfully his pashe, Tyson says. I know it's gonna keep on spreading. So it spreads and it spreads and spreads and it spreads until you have shishim to mimabatla. And now, after a couple of moments, you can't taste any of the chazashmalt anywhere because bottle b'shishim. The same thing over here. When you put in a lot of cold water, true, the first few drops of cold water that touched the bottom of the pot became yatzoledes, but the second that they touched the bottom of the pot, but I keep on pouring more water. So the end is going to be, the whole thing, I know it's going to be undone. It's an issa to be mevashel, but when he plans to pour a lot of cold water in, even though he knows in advance that the first few drops of water that are going to touch the bottom of the burning hot pot are going to become the atzoledes, but because he's pouring everything bevasach, he's not pouring a little bit, a little bit, a little bit, he's pouring the whole thing bevasach, so that doesn't count. It's sofa lehitztane. Yeah. He knows it's going to be, the result of the bishul is going to be undone within seconds. It's all one pooler that he's doing. So that doesn't count the fact that for a few seconds it was Yatzalad. That's what you see from the Gemara.
I was about to say that by the Hazard, that never has man head there, so you can use the Lashishim, but here, since it's going to hit the pot, that the water has its mantra, Shalmat here, that a certain time after Shabbat, that water will be Mitzah, no?
Again.
But here, if you had just little drops, it hit the pot.
That would become this bashel.
That would be
a malach habishel.
It would have this mantra, Yisro Matir. Because a little bit after Shabbat, somebody else who didn't do it could benefit from that water.
Yeah.
And so it can't be bittul ever.
Yeah. No, don't worry about bittul. No. We're talking about an Issa malach habishel. He's pouring in cold water. He knows in advance that the first bit of water that's going to hit the bottom of the pot is going to get burning hot, but it's all for the hitzane. He knows it's going to be undone. It's all in one shot. I would think so. He's going to pour in first a little bit of cold water, then stop. He's going to pour it in his spurts. Pour in a little bit of cold water that he just did bishul. I think it's only permissible if he plans in advance to hold the thing in such a way he's going to keep on pouring one long hemshech. I think so. Otherwise, he already violated bishul. How does he undo the bishul? So the Gemara asks the kasha that when you pour out the burning hot water from the samovar and you fill it up with ice cold water, v'halo mitzarif. What do you mean? Isn't there a possibility that it may be causing tziruf? So to this, it's not a vadois, it's a possibility. So the Gemara says, you're right. It's a possibility that may or may not be causing tziruf, and the Mishnah goes like Rav Shimon that Dov Sheinim is Kavin is Mutna. Why is this a Dov Sheinim is Kavin? Why isn't it a Psik Reishin? So here the Rishonim have two suggestions. So the Ramban on the Mochamas says that maybe it was already Nitztarev previously. Maybe the manufacturer already had been Nitztarev. I don't know. Maybe it was already Nitztarev on a previous use. Maybe previously someone else had filled it up with hot water, then emptied out all the hot water, put in cold water. Maybe someone else had already done the tziruf. So the Ramban learns that that's enough to be considered, a safek l'sho'avar is enough to be considered a dov she'einam is kavin. That's called a safek psik reishin. A safek psik reishin is the famous machlok is the Taz and the Magen Avraham. That a fellow opens up a drawer to take something out, and he's not sure, there may or may not be a fly that's getting, because there's an isad seid on flies. There's an isad seid on any animal. So if the fellow opens up a drawer and then he's going to close it right away, and there may or may not be a fly, and if there is a fly there, then he's trapping the fly that it can't run away. So that's the machlek is the Taz and the Magen Avraham. In this case, it's a suffix psik reisha. Usually we call something a dov she'einam is kavin al shem ha'asid. I don't know whether what I did will be able to lead to a malacha or not. it may be that it doesn't have, let's say, Goyra the Mithi Kisa the Safsom, Vachlaris Kabin Lasos Charis. What do we have the other day? A Mem Amar Aleph. The person is going to keep on quoting him, and Aleph on the base, they're going to keep on referring back to the Goyra the Mithi Kisa the Safsom. The fellow is moving a piece of furniture. He's not sure the earth, it's drizzling outside a little bit, off and on. The earth is a little softer than it would have been if it would have been a dry day, but it's not like if it's pouring rain, the earth is very, very soft. Piece of furniture is that's not so heavy. So he doesn't know whether this heavy piece of furniture is so heavy that it's going to make a charitz. The weight of the furniture with the softness of the earth, he doesn't know what the story is. Is it going to make a charitz? He's going to try that it should not make a charitz. He's not going to push it down. He's going to try to hold it up a little bit. He's not going to pick it up. He's not going to pick it up like this. He's going to try to pick it up lightly a little bit on the surface of the earth. He doesn't know, on the surface of the ground, he doesn't know whether it's going to cause a charitz or not. So that's called Dov Sheini Miskabel. What if you have a situation where it all depends on something in the past? If the circumstances are such, then it's a Vadai Psik Resha. If the circumstances are such, then it's not at all a Psik Resha. So that's the case. That's a Machlokes, the Taz and the Mogen Avraham. So the Mishnah Brura in the Bi'ur HaLacha quotes this Ramban. The Ramban over here holds L'Hokel, that a Sofik Lusha Avar, it's simply a Sofik. Maybe the Tziruf was already done on the metal Kli, on the Kumkum. So if it was already done on the Mecham. So if it was already done, so you don't need the Tziruf now. Taisus does not learn the whole Shaila, the whole Machlik Taz and the Magen Avraham, because they didn't have that Ramban. They had the Taisus. The Taisus writes over here, the second white line, on the Malach on the base of Tzichem Eloimar. The law have ipsik reshe, sheyochlir shalay itzav, the ipsik reshe, loy the Rav Shimon. So why is it not ipsik reshe? So Taisus says, has to be burning hot, has to be ice cold, has to be full. So you're not sure whether, you're not sure about all the conditions now. It's not that it's a suffix in the past, it's a suffix whether you're doing it right now in the present, whether it has all the conditions now. That's what Taisus says. But the only Rishon who talks about this topic of Sufik Psikreshe, that was the Machlokes, the Taz and Magen Avraham, is this Ramban, and the Bi'ur HaLacha quotes it. So he assumes that that's not Lacha, that a Sufik Psikreshe also you have a right to treat it like a Dovah Sheini Miskabel. The Malamed Lahoil has a tshuva. Someone asked him that child, what's the din of a Sufik Psikreshe? So he writes, look in the Mishnah Berurah, he quoted Ramban Lahokel. That's the Ramban on our Gemara. So the Gemara says this Rav Arba Bar Masna interprets the Mishnah that it's the Mishnah goes like Rav Shimon that Dov Sheini Miskabel is mut. Okay. Maskich lo Abaye es hakashe and Rav Arba Bar Masna need mechem shipin men maim katani. Does it say in the Mishnah that he poured out the water? Mechem shipineu katani, and Abaye thinks that the simple reading of the word pineu means that he moved it. He moved it. Pina also. Not that he emptied it out. Elam Rabbi Chacham and Mechan Shep Pinehu, he took it off from Al Gabi Hoesh Rashi. Pinehli Atzmo Me Al Ha'ur. Not Pina Samayim Mimenu. He emptied it out. He took it off of the fire and he put it on a different location. Amechem Shep Pinehu V'Yesh Bo Mayim Chamim, and it has some hot water in it. Litzel Etelcha Mayim Wat Meshul Shiachumu. Al Nosel Etelcha Mayim Rubim Kedei Lahavshirim. However, if you have a Mechem Shepin Mena Mayim. But if it would have been the case of Rabbi Bar Masna, which the Mishnah does not discuss, according to Abaye, it's not talked about at all, in that case, the Mishnah would probably say, Leitan Atecha Mayim Kol, he cannot let it put in cold water, and Nesha Mitzaret. I bet it's only a Sofik. Beauty is Dabba Dabba Shein Miskabin is also. That's the Machlokes of Beauty Reb Shimon, but the Dabba Shein Miskabin is also, Dabba Shein Miskabin is Mutah. And our Gemara assumes that the Machlokes of Beauty Reb Shimon regarding Dabba Shein Miskabin also Mutah applies on Shabbos. That says the whole Mitzvah says like that. The Machlok is the original Machlok of Yerub Shimon. Goyra the meat the key to the Tassel is on Shabbos. Correct. But the original Machlok of Yerub Shimon is by Kilayim, by Shatnes, about Nenem the Basa B'chol of Nenem the Avodah Zarah. Many other cases it even applies to Shabbos. This Tassel has the Chiddush, right, where Rabbi Kivega has the star in the Tassel. Rabbi Kivega has the Taisus Chiddushes, and that's the same, the long Taisus of Maseches Yuma and Daf Lamedal on the base. It says Vishom, that's the long Taisus that goes Lamedal on the base, and Lamed Hamed Aleph goes on and on. This Taisus is a repeat of that Taisus. That their Girsan, the Gemara in Yuma, was that Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, Dov Sheini Miskabel Oser, only applies in Kala Terakula Minatur, but on Shabbos, Dovashanim is Kabin is only Asim the Rabbana. And other Rishanim disagree. It's a big machlokes in the Shita Mukubetzes, in the beginning of Maseches Ksubas on Dafei, pages and pages, 10 long pages go on and on and on and on. This machlokes of Rishanim. So that was the Girsas HaTesis in Yuma, Daf Lamadala. And Tesis over here insists that their Girsas is correct and Rashi's Girsas is incorrect. Rashi there in Ksubas has a Girsas in the Gemara that the whole machlokes of Rabbi Yehuda and Reb Shimon, where the Dovashanim is Kabin is also Ramuter, regarding Hilchos Shabbos only applies if it may turn out that there'll be a malacha deraisa. But if the worst that's going to happen, what is the Dovashen Miskaven? What does it mean, Dovashen Miskaven? The person is doing Pula Hamuteris, and knows in advance that may or may not result in a Pula Hasura. And if it results in a Pula Hasura, it means that he was Machal Shabbos. Is that permissible to do that or not? So Rav Yehuda says, you're not allowed to. So Rashi's Gius in the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Lamadal on the basis, Bamezbar Mamurim. When does Rabbi Yehuda say Dovashen Miskaven is Aser? If it may turn out to be an Isa Deraisa, so Dovashen Miskaven is like Sveka Deraisa Luchuma. But if the worst it can be is going to be a Malacha Midrabanon, so Sofik Derabanon Lekula. So Dovashen Miskaven should be Mut. That's how Rashi read the Gemara. So Tosfos said, how can it be? One of the cases where there was a Machalek Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon was Gora the Mita Kisa Vistapsol, Bavashele Iskaven Lasos Charitz. And if he is Miskaven Lasos Charitz, then it's a Malacha Deraisa. No, it's kalachaya. The normal way to make a haritz is to take a shovel and to dig a haritz. Ba'bayis, you make a haritz chay mishum bona. Ba'sod, you make a haritz chay mishum choresh. But normal bona, normal choresh is you use a normal instrument. If you want to make a haritz, you don't take a heavy piece of furniture and start schlepping it on the ground. That's kalachaya. The Gemara says so, the fairish, it's kalachaya. So if you have gerah to meet the kids of a safsol, there's an achleikis of Yerub Shimon. The worst it can be is a haritz midirabonon, is an isa derabonon, because of kalach hayad, and it's still a machlegs of Yehuda Reb Shimon. So you see that Rashi's girsa is incorrect. That was one taina. The Tosfos says Rashi is against the Gemara. Then Rashi, there's a stira. Rashi also, chiddush number two, Rashi holds over there, machlegs of Yehuda Reb Shimon is only when it may turn out to be a malacha deraisa. If the worst that's going to happen is going to be a malacha midirabonon, then there never was a machlokes, even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that Dovashen Miskaven is mutter sveka derabbanan lekula. So what's an example of a derabbanan? So Rashi gives, the Gemara gives an example, mitzaref. The worst mitzaref can be is only the derabbanan to begin with, so Dovashen Miskaven is mutter. So he says, ah, sugi against Rashi. The whole sugi and that's not malachim beis, the ferish. The Gemara is, v'haloi mitzarefu. The Gemara says that you get involved in Rabbi Yehuda versus Reb Shimon. But Rashi read the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Lama Dalaram and Beis, that he's talking about Mitzaref, Alo Mitzarefu, the exact same topic, Mitzaref. The Gemara says there, according to Rashi's Girsa in the Gemara, that in the case of Mitzaref, since the whole Malach is only Midrabbanon, so Rabbi Yehuda would never say, Dabi Hashem in his Kaaba in his oath. So it's black and white against our Gemara. So Tosfos is fair about it. So they save Rashi from that Kasha. They're not going to save Rashi, they say. They don't agree with Rashi. Because Gorod the Mita Kisa Vesafsol is Kalachayad, it's Charisha Kalachayad. So that's only the Rabbanim. So Rashi, they say Rashi, they can't agree with Rashi. But this theory they can answer in Rashi. Why? Because the Gemara in Yuma is talking about Mitzaref and Ashashi Eshel Barzo. What's the context there in Yuma? It says in Yuma that the Kohen Gadol has to go to Mikvah 5 times on Yom Kippur. Usually they don't appoint a Kohen Gadol, a young guy 15 years old. They appoint an older person, 65 years old. The previous Kohen Gadol died. His father died at the age of 120. And then they appointed the son at the age of 85, 80 or something. They have an old man in Kohen Gadol. If he's able to function, if he's not able to run around, he has to finish all the Avodah on Yom Kippur. Okay. But Ismistam is going to be a mature person. So the Mishnah says, if you're afraid that the Kohen Gadol may catch pneumonia by being tickled, they didn't have such a thing as a warm mikveh. In the days of the Gemara. In the days of the Gemara talks about Tfila Bechamin. The Gemara says, Tfila Bechamin Mika. How is there such a thing that you table on hot water? The only way to have hot water is to cook a kettle, cook a big pot of hot water on top of the fire, then pour the hot water into the mikvah. It's going to be Maim Shuvim. So they couldn't imagine such a thing, Tfila Bechamin. Some Rishonim even claim that there's a Psul Midrabanan, that if you have a mikvah with warm water, even if you succeeded by some kind of a stunt, to have a mikveh of warm water, it's possible because it looks like it's Maim Shuvim. So we'll make all on that. All of our mikvahs are warm water. But in the days of the Rishonim, that was a big machlokes. How can they say that a warm mikveh is possible? It's enough in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says in Yuma that if the Kohen Gadol is an elderly person and you're afraid he's going to get sick by being tabled five times in the mikveh, so it says you warm up the water. So how can they say that a one mikveh is possible? It's a beferish and mishnah that it's good. So the Rishonim answer, the Mordechai answers, ein shvuz ba migdash. Just like the Gemara says ein shvuz ba migdash with respect to the Malach HaShabbos, so too we say ein shvuz ba migdash with respect to this din, respect to Sharkala Tarkula. That's what we discussed. We once discussed that there's a machlekes, the Marsha and the later Achrayim, whether ein shvuz ba migdash only applies in Hilchos Shabbos or applies in all dinim and Kala Tarkula. So one of the sources, I think the Chidor quoted that. One of the sources the Chidor quoted was that Mordechai. But ein shvuz ba migdash, that's by Tzvila Bechamin is acceptable. Anyway, we don't accept that opinion. We don't have we're not talking about based on migdash, and all of our mikvahs are warm. So I'll call upon him, that's the context of this discussion in Yumas. So it says if the Kohen Gadol is an istinis, if he's an old man and you're afraid he's going to get sick by being tuggled in the cold mikveh, so they warm up the mikveh. How are they going to warm up the mikveh? So they used to have ashoshia shal barzel, they had chunks of metal. It wasn't like a mecham, it wasn't a metal kli. Our mission is talking about tziruf on a metal kli. The other Gemara is talking about tziruf just on chunks of metal. You have chunks of metal that are sitting on burning coals. The Mer of Yom Kippur, and the coals remain hot the whole time. So then on Yom Kippur, we take the metal coal, we take the metal chunks that are burning hot, we throw them into the mikveh, and that's going to give up, but the mikveh has so much water in it, so the metal is going to give off warmth. Why isn't it a violation of mechaba on the metal? The answer is it's only mechaba if the metal is so hot that it's glowing, if it's glowing red. So then if you put it into water and you cause the red color to go away, that would be mechaba. But they had to be careful that the ashosha shabazah shouldn't be red hot. They were burning hot. Enough to burn your hand off, burning hot, but it wasn't red hot. Okay. So if you throw this into the mikveh and the whole heat goes out, that's not a violation of mechaba. If it would have been red hot, and you would have extinguished the red flame, that would be a mechaba. So the Gemara asked the kasha, v'halo mitzarifu. Why isn't it a violation of tziruf? Tziruf is an isa misakin mana. Tziruf is an isa on the ashoshias. So Rashi understands, Rashi has the gifts in the Gemara there, that tziruf on ashoshias shall barzel on chunks of metal, the worst it can be is only the rabbanon. Our Gemara is talking about tziruf on a kli, on a mecham. So tziruf on a kli is misakin mana. But tziruf on ashoshias shall barzel, the worst it can be is an isa de rabbanon. So dovish ein miskavein. If I know in advance that it may or may not result in tziruf, so dovish ein miskavein is a suffix de rabbanon lekul. That's how Rashi read the Gemara in Yuma. So Tosfos admits that the Rashi is not the stira that they asked can be answered. It looks like it's exactly the same topic being discussed in the two Gemaras. What's the din of dovish ein miskavein vis-a-vis mitzarif mateches? So our Gemara says that it is totally in the Machleg Zabir and Reb Shimon. And Rashi reads over there, it's not totally. So the answer is that Gemara is talking about Ashoshe, Shel, Barzel, chunks of metal. Our Gemara is talking about a Kli. So Tziruf on a Kli, Rashi holds that that's the right. So Tziruf on Ashoshe is, that's only the Rabbanon. Tosfos holds that it's wrong anyway because the Goro of the Mithi Kishin is Zafsal. So that's only the Rabbanon because it's Kalach HaYad, the Gemara says. It's only, the worst it can be is Kalach HaYad. And still it's a Machleg is where the Dov Shein and Miskaven is also with this. What's Rashi going to do with that Kasha? So Mustafa Rashi distinguishes between the various Isurim de Rabbanon. If a person does a Malacha deraisa Kalach HaYad, Rashi holds that that's closer to the Isa deraisa than doing Tziruf on Ashoshia Shel Barzel. If you're doing Tziruf just on chunks of metal, that's a lower level de Rabbanon. So that there I say Sveika de Rabbanon Lukuda. There never was a Machleg Zabir Reb Shimon regarding Dov Shein Miskaven over there. But if you're going to do a Dov Shein Miskaven and Harisha Kalach HaYad, Tamid de Rabbanon, they consider that that's closer to a Malacha deraisa. So that you say Dov Shein Miskaven would be also over there. This is all Rashi's girsa, and that's what Tosfos disagreed with Rashi. Tosfos said that the correct girsa should read in the Gemara in Yuma that Ein Shvuz Ba Migdash. Rashi doesn't have the girsa Ein Shvuz Ba Migdash. What's Ein Shvuz Ba Migdash? So Tosfos says the whole din of Rabbi Yehuda, the Dov Shein Miskaven Asam on Shabbos is only mid the Rabbanon. Minatar there isn't. Minatar Dov Shein Miskaven is Asar in Sharkala Tarakula, except for Shabbos. For Shabbos, there's a lack of Malachas Mach Shabbos Asar Ter. So the worst it can be on Shabbos is only the Rabbanon. So that's why the correct Yirsa is Ein Shvuz Ba Migdash. That was one of the tainus that Tosfos has against Rashi. That Rashi crossed out the old Yirsa in Yuma. The old Yirsa said, Tosfos says, we owed another tain against Rashi that is Moichik HaSefer. the Gemara saying Shavuos Bamigdash. Rashi crossed out the Girus and Yom Avam Dalet, that it did say in the old Gemara saying Shavuos Bamigdash. The Tosfos gave the Epshat, that Dov Sheinim is Kaveh. On Shabbos, the worst it can be is only the Rabbanan. How do you know, how does the Tosfos know that Dov Sheinim is Kaveh and Kol HaTorah Kula is their Raisa? Maybe the whole din of Rabbi Yudah, Dov Sheinim is Kaveh is also, maybe the whole thing is a Chumrim with the Rabbanan. No. That they know the Feirish. That they had a Gemara from Rabbi Blaise and the Milo. But the Gemara said that you have to perform the Milo, whether it's a Milo Bizman or Milo Shalai Bizman. The difference between Milo Bizman and Milo Shalai Bizman is regarding being Deicha Shabbos. But being Deicha Tzaras, even a Milo Shalai Bizman also. Yokut, as the Gemara said, Yokotet. The Gemara says you have to cut off the Milo, even Shalai Bizman. Even if you have a baharis, even though it's in violation of an Easter, you have to cut it off. So the Gemara said over there, a whole discussion of Kuflam Gimel Manal, who's going to be the Moel? The Avi Aben is going to be the Moel, or a stranger is going to do the Briz. The Gemara says, if a stranger is doing the Briz, let it be a Dovashain and Miskavin, and it's Mutter. It's Tamna, we serve it all. The Gemara says, oh, Mazgar, leave it there, Abuda. All the Dovashain and Miskavin is awesome. So you see, the Gemara is working with a pasuk, and the Gemara says, "I need a din derayt, I need a drasha, I leave it to Rabbi Yudah." So if not Gemara, it's a clear indication that Rabbi Yudah holds davish and miskaven and kol hatorah kula is an isa deraisa. And Tosfos has the Giras and Yuma lamadal on the base that Rashi crossed it out, and they're not happy why Rashi was mechek al Giras as sefer. So the old Giras was ain shvuz b'migdash. So Tosfos said that Gemara is telling you that davish and miskaven also on Shabbos is only mid the rabban. They said the teretz is based on the pasuk Malachas Machsheves. And Tosfos has to patch up all the Gemaras that contradict it. As the Gemara increases, the Tosfos reinterprets all the Gemaras. Even though it says it's a machlekes Dov Sheinim is Kaveh, they say no, it really means ain't tzricha legufa. It doesn't mean Dov Sheinim is Kaveh. Okay. Okay. And the Gemara is going to continue regarding left out one Rashi we didn't do last week. I forgot all about it. Mem on its base on the bottom line of Rashi. The Gemara quoted a Braisa on the last line on Mem on base. Leyosha tadim ebrech mlei main afilu omedes bechotzer. Why is that a chiddush? Afilu omedes bechotzer. The Rashi writes, Al-Khatza means that it's Mukaf Mechitzis. Mukaf Mechitzis, there is no chashash of carrying. If you have a brecha that's not bechotzer and there's a place where you're not allowed to carry, so then I understand why you're not allowed to swim, because when people swim, they splash all over the place. So there's a chashash of carrying daladamas. When you splash water, so you may be causing the water to go daladamas, and you're not allowed to carry daladamas in a carmelist. So you're not going to have a swimming pool in the middle of the street, middle of the highway, middle of the Shusarab and the Rice, but you can have very often a swimming pool in the middle of a Carmelist. So maybe you're going to tell me you're not allowed to go swimming in a swimming pool in a Carmelist because of the Hashash, Shemayat is my Beraglav Chutz, the Dalaramas. But if it's Afila Medes Mechatzah, where there's no Hashash of Matis Dalaramas. So that's what Rashi learned. That's the Chiddush of Afila Medes Mechatzah. The din is that Carmelist is only an Issa Derabbanan. But in a Carmelist, not only are you not allowed to carry Biyadayim, you're not allowed to splash either. That's also called Hoitzor. You're not permitted to do Hoitzor, even Aide Kocho. Aide Zemar Kocho the Carmelist like Gozru. So that has to be reinterpreted. You can't interpret it Alpi Pshuto. The Kocho, let's say I take a ball and I throw it in the Carmelist, that's not Begufa, that's Bekocho. See, Nai Mai, you're allowed to throw a ball. And the Kamala is not allowed to. So this is also the same thing. If a fellow is splashing and he's mat his mind baragul chutz l'alamas and a Kamalist, so that would have, that's Aser. And there would have been grounds to Aser splashing around, swimming around in a swimming pool in a Kamalist. Would have been Aser because of the chashash emayat his mind. But we even Aser it in a afila medes pechotzes, mukav mechitzes. So it's not because of the gzera of mat his mind. It's because of the gzera of ein shatin. Because it's a brecha, the Gemara. Yes, we can do the less we can do the, that we learned about. Whenever it's a situation where you could use a rowboat in this body of water, then you're not allowed to go swimming on the water either. Okay. So we'll do that tomorrow. We'll continue the next day. We'll continue the Gemara.